honestly, we live in an era where nothing shocks me anymore. Culture shock, nothing. Literally, there is no story that is just too dramatic or something that makes me gasp. Like, you know, the authentic gasp that, you know, we all made. That the gasp heard around the world when, say, I don't know, like, Kim K releases Snapchats of Taylor Swift audio recordings with Kanye. Like, that level of scandal, honey. But I was browsing the World Wide Web today, and there was one story that did make me give me an authentic gasp. And that is our first story of the day. Obviously, the headliner in this episode that is, of course, the bruises on Angelina Jolie's hand from the alleged mishap that happened on the private jet. It's almost like the equivalent of what went down on the private jet is what went down in the elevator, the audio recording that will never be heard between Solange and Jay-Z and Beyonce. That level of secrecy. By the by, if you hear a little bit of rumbling outside or behind or in the background, that is totally normal. There is much construction going on in my building today, so I had to step into my mock makeshift audio booth, which is my car, which actually is pretty good sound to record this because it's insulated, but occasionally a car will drive by. I had to drive down the street to Sunset because there's not great service in my garage, particularly where I parked. I mean, I have service, but sometimes it like connects to random Wi-Fi's in the building because I have a bunch of friends that are, you know what I'm saying. Anyways, I have four stories for you guys today, leading in with, of course, the Angie Jolie story. I hope everybody's had a great week. It's been a great week for me. Tiring, chaotic, but it's mid-August, and I'm very much looking forward to the second week of September because I am jetting off to Europe because I am a jet set girly. What else is new? Game of Thrones this Sunday, which I'm very, very excited about. I will definitely be doing a recap probably Sunday after because it'll be so fresh in my mind and I'm going to really have to, I'll probably watch the episode twice. And if you're not a fan of it, I'm going to incorporate other stories too, but I'm just going to talk about it because it's like it's 2018 all over again, you know? It's back, and I can't wait. Rhaenyra Targaryen. And by the way, I live in LA, obviously, if you didn't know that by now, but there's billboards all over Sunset, like with her in front of the dragon, and it's very much like reminiscent of Dany in front of Drogon, like the posters that they would, the promos that would use for like 5 through 7 when I was living in this area. So it's wild, it's very exciting, and it's giving me the tingly sensation of my favorite show of all time being back. Well, Gossip Girl's my favorite show too, but I mean, we're living in an era, it's so crazy. Gossip Girl is back, Game of Thrones is back, and PLL is back. I can't even. Like, I literally can't even. It's amazing that the gods of television are just gifting us. Well, gifting me. With that being said, that's pretty much all that's new with me. I mean, there is other stuff too, but I'm just not going to disclose it on the podcast because I'm a private girly and some things I gotta, you know, keep on the DL. So let's get into our first story of the day, which is obviously the big story. Photos, this is from Page Six. Photos of Angelina Jolie's alleged bruises from Brad Pitt during Whore Flight revealed. Okay. Photos of Angelina's injuries, which were allegedly sustained in a fight with Brad Pitt during a September 2016 brawl on a private jet, have been revealed. The Oscar winner submitted photos of bruises on her hand and elbow to an FBI inquiry into the incident, which led to the end of their marriage. As Page Six reported, according to the FBI report, Jolie told investigators that Pitt, who had been drinking, shrieked at her in a restroom on board the flight back from Nice, France to the US. By the way, I've been in Nice. You fly to Nice when you're going to the south of France when you go to the Cannes Film Festival, darling. Hold on, I'm just like readjusting. My shoe just came off. Okay. By the way, shout out to Page Six for giving like the most gorgeous photo of Brad and Angelina, like literally a movie star couple, chef's kiss. She obviously, as an Angelina, alleged that Pitt, quote, grabbed her by the head, quote, grabbed her by the shoulders, shook her, pushed her into the bathroom wall, and yelled at her, quote, you're effing up this family. Two of their minor children, and then in parentheses, whose names were redacted in the report. My gosh, the legal jargon here, I can't even. Quote, we're outside the door crying and asked, are you okay, mommy, she claimed. And then the article provides the photo of her hand. Pitt allegedly yelled in response, no. Well, quote, no, mommy's not okay. She's ruining this family. She's crazy, the report said. According to Jolie, the comment prompted one of their children to retaliate. Quote, it's not her, it's you. You bleeped out. Which she said enraged Pitt. The actress then alleged that she saw him run toward the children, quote, like he was going to attack, at which point she said she got Pitt into a chokehold that he tried to break by throwing himself back and pushed her into the chairs behind them. This is scandalous, y'all. Jolie alleged that she suffered injuries to her back and elbow as a result and shared a photo of the injury to her elbow with the FBI. Black and white photocopies of the photos are included in the report, which is this article, as well as handwritten pages provided by Jolie allegedly from her children containing descriptions of the incident. The handwritten pages are mostly redacted. During the fight, Jolie also claimed that Pitt had said one of their children, looks like a effing... I can't even say it. I'm not even going to say it because it's so bad. And I'm never, ever uttering those words. But it's in the Page Six article, but I'm not going to say it. If in fact he did say this, that is sick. Okay. Jolie also said in the report that Pitt continued to drink during the two-leg trip, later pouring beer on her. After they arrived in Los Angeles, the pair allegedly had a physical altercation. She claimed Pitt prevented her and her children from deplaning for 20 minutes. In addition to her back and elbow, the report stated that Jolie said she also suffered, quote, a rug burn type wound on her left hand. A photo of the wound is included in the redacted report. Jolie said in the report that a scratch on Pitt could have been caused by her, though she believes she had him in a chokehold. Pitt was not arrested or charged in connection with the incident after the FBI completed an investigation in November 2016. According to the report, after reviewing a probable cause statement related to the incident, a representative from the U.S. Attorney's Office, quote, discussed the merits of this investigation with the FBI case agent. Quote, it was agreed by all parties that criminal charges in this case would not be pursued due to several factors, the report read. I wonder what those factors are. Is it family hunty? Is it, you know, his side, her side, and the truth? There's always three sides to every story. I've always said that. In April, Jolie asked for the report into the investigation anonymously as a Jane Doe to work out why Pitt was never charged. As Page Six reported this week, sources close to Pitt said that both sides had the same report for nearly 6 years, adding that she was using it for a media stunt. Although they're now legally divorced, the exes are embroiled in a bitter custody fight over their minor children. Okay, so there's many, many, many elements to this story to break down. Chief among all, I mean, if in fact Brad allegedly said these things that I'm not going to say, there are no words. It's unforgivable. And the fact that Angie allegedly held him in a chokehold, like, girl's strong. But she's, you know, when you're protecting your children and whatnot, because the article said he was running after the kids, she put him in an alleged chokehold. You know, there's nothing, you know, more scary than a mama bear protecting her children. I think this is pretty crazy that this is all in a private jet. I'm sure the flight attendants that may or may not have been present and or captains who are behind the door, I'm sure they're locked in NDAs and can't say anything. But this is literally just like the Solange and Jay-Z thing. Like, what went on in the elevator? We saw the audio footage. We never saw the audio footage of this, but like, we're literally learning what happened. But with that, it's a whole other thing. They're just not going to release the audio footage. And if it does ever get released, I'm going to be like screaming, hunty. I will do a whole entire episode dedicated to that entirely. I do have to say, though, this is, at the end of the day, although this is super entertaining and it does make for a story for me and for work, it's very, very sad. It's nothing that I think anyone should be jumping for joy. Oh, this is a great story. No, it's a horrible story. When I read it, I was like, this is really dark. That's the first thought that came to mind. And it's also that age-old expression, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. In this case, you never know what goes on up in the skies in a private jet of, you know, two of our favorite celebrities. You just never know. I mean, if this alleged thing is actually true, then it's truly terrible. I hope it isn't true, but there's got to have been some major, major reason that their marriage ended. And to me, this sounds very, very much like a moment in time that would merit Angelina and Brad going their separate ways. I do recall a few months or years ago reading that Brad had become sober after this moment. Now, I don't know if it is in fact related to this, but I don't know. But a lot of intimate details about their marriage seem to be becoming very public. These articles are saying Angelina wants to drag Brad through the, you know, Brad's name to the media and all that. I don't know. I really don't know, because obviously I am not part of their family, nor, even though, like, I really wish I was. By the by, this is, like, a little off topic, but Angelina did one of those, like, Vogue What's Inside My Bags, the British Vogue. So iconic, so classy. It's in front of her house in Los Feliz, which is, like, an iconic part of Los Angeles. By the way, I have been finding myself, like, spending more time on the east side of LA because, well, I love it here. Great restaurants, great food. It's a little bit out of the city. And, It's a great place to live, but it's a great video too, and it's very short too. But it just proves like what an iconic, timeless starlet she is. I say all that to say, I love her as much as I love Brad. I really do. I really, really do, and I hope that these two can work it out, especially for the sake of their lovely children, their gorgeous family. And it's sad. It's really. I mean, when I read the article, I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is really crazy and personal stuff. So we shall see if there's any new developments with regards to this story. I will, of course, report it as my job, as like, you know, the mistress of pop culture. But who knows? Okay, this brings us to our second story of the day. Another thing that I just absolutely love, capsule or a moment in time that really isn't like a special capsule. This is from E. Laguna Beach's Stephen Colletti slams theory he cheated on Kristen Cavallari with Lauren Conrad. Okay, I am a huge fan of Laguna Beach. It is, in fact, Laguna Beach and the Hills, which is in large part why, one of the many reasons that I moved to Los Angeles, the West Coast. I was in, I think it was in 9th or 10th grade when these shows came on. I was obsessed. I was just like, I couldn't get over it because it was so, I didn't know that that's how people lived. And at the time, the scripted show, The OC, was on. So it was like amazing. And of course, Lauren, Steven, Lil, the whole cast, Audrina was in the Hills. Anyways, this is the article. Stephen Colletti is clearing the air on the man he was painted out to be during his days on Laguna Beach. Stephen and Kristen have continued their mission to break down the secrets behind the iconic MTV series. And during the August 16th episode of Dear Media's Back to the Beach with Kristen and Stephen podcast, the 36-year-old shared that he wasn't too pleased to be made out like a cheater with the show's editing. While fans may remember being on the edge of their seats on the show's love triangle that was Stephen, Kristen, and Lauren Conrad, obviously LC, the One Tree Hill actor explained that certain scenes were edited out of context to make it seem like he had cheated on the uncommon James founder during their romance. Of course, all reality TV shows do that. This, like, scripted and editing, it's like, all, like, come on now. But we didn't know back then. Back in the day, we were all, like, little naive girlies watching the show, just salivating at the drama, hunty. Okay, quote. I had a huge problem with this because, look, obviously they created the show around this love triangle, and there's moments where you and I were broken up, Stephen said to Kristen, continuing quote. And they learned about Lauren and I hooking up and being very good friends. And, you know, obviously stuff happened at certain times. But at no point ever were we together. Would I step out on you in that way? He added, quote, that made my blood boil a little bit. As for how Kristen feels about the storyline, in hindsight, she said it felt like she and Steven were put in a box, quote, for the entire season. They decided, okay, this is how we're going to make Steven look. And I don't care what's really going on in his life. She said, we are going to continue to hammer that home and keep going back to that same storyline. Oh, my God. E provided this iconic photo of them back on the show when they're like little babies, Steven with his backwards hat. Ah, this was like so nostalgic. Though the duo do give props to MTV for crafting an ultra entertaining plotline, Kristen noted that things would have been a little different had Twitter or Instagram been invented back then. She teased, quote, they got so lucky that we didn't have social media at the time because, you know, I would have been all over that thing going, this didn't happen there. And that's not true. Yes, read the room, girl. That's why I love Kristen Cavallari. I mean, I love Lauren too, but Kristen's really like, she's a whippersnapper. She's sharp. She's quick. She is in large part why the show was super successful. And by the way, I will never, ever, ever forget the moment. Okay, the finale happened, and then they, on TRL, they aired the season 2 trailer, and nobody knew it was coming. It was so good. I remember everybody was freaking out in my history class, in my geography class, because it was my first period of the day. I will never, ever forget that. It's like one of those high school moments that lives with me forever. That and like graduation and like other certain moments. It's just like, oh, I loved it. And it's a dream come true, you know, because I now live on the West Coast. I've been to Laguna Beach. I've been to Orange County. It's manifestation, hunty. You know, you got to manifest. And everybody talks about it. And some people think it's bullshit. And sometimes it like does seem like bullshit. But if you manifest something, you know, you never know. Anyways, I say all that to say, I love Lauren and I love Steven. And icons only. Okay, this brings us to our third story of the day. From Page Six, literally somebody I don't think I've ever talked about ever on this podcast, but in my freshman year of college in Rhode Island, I would sit in my dorm room at Adams Hall and go down the hallway to Katie and Courtney's room, because we had obviously, what is that called? Multigender? No. What is it called when you have two sexes in, like, one floor? Unisex? No. I don't know, there were boys and girls. But anyways, at the end of a hallway, these girls had the most cozy room ever, and they would always watch John and Kate plus 8 on TLC. Like, iconic. Iconic. But anyways, Page Six is reporting John Gosselin claims, quote, disgusting ex stole $100,000 from two of their kids. This is just not okay. I always remember this joke that Joan Rivers made once, the late great Joan Rivers, about Kate Gosselin on Dancing with the Stars. Like, something like, if ever there... This is Joan's words, not mine. But if ever there was, like, a terror threat or something, everybody run into Kate Gosselin's womb. That shit's funny. I miss Joan. Oh, man. Can you imagine Joan commenting on, like, COVID and, like, everything going on monkeypox? Oh, it would be something. Okay, here we go. Hold on. I had to clear my throat here. John Gosselin has alleged that his ex-wife, Kate, stole $100,000 from their kids, but the reality star claims she merely, quote, borrowed the funds. In legal documents obtained by The Sun, the, quote, K-plus A star admitted to making two separate withdrawals of $50,000 of their kids' trusts, but it was, quote, to survive. Yeah, maybe. In the 2019 court filing, Kate claimed that assets from Hannah and Colin's accounts were being used to, quote, meet her and the children's expenses, but she ended up purchasing a $750,000 lakeside home in North Carolina that same year. Quote, it's disgusting and just morally wrong, John told The Sun. Quote, parents are not supposed to withdraw any money from these accounts without permission and without drawing up paperwork that they will pay it back, but she had produced no paperwork and no payments have been made. By the by, I know that this is in fact true because I just know. I'm not going to get into the semantics or the details, but I know. Quote, you can't just live off your kids' money, he added. In the documents, Kate also claimed that her eight children actually owe her money because she paid for their private school tuition out of pocket. Rolls eyes emoji. Quote, so, I mean, I'm not looking to collect that, but I borrowed $100,000 from the kids' trust, she claimed in the filing, and it owes me $387,000 technically. John Gosselin claims that Kate still hasn't paid back Hannah or Colin's trust despite a judge ruling that she plans to do so. Yeah, that ain't good. And I mean, once again, it's like Brad and Angelina, like I don't feel happy reading about, you know, the inner workings of family financial drama. No, never. But I am very curious because obviously John and Kate was super successful and they amassed a fortune during that time. And I always wonder, like, do the kids have money? Do the kids get paid? But I guess they do, which is so great. But pay your kids back, girl. It's not for you. I don't want to be hearing that you're buying like hair extensions or nails or a new car, but you bought a nice house. That's a very expensive house, girly. I don't know. It's like that woman, Nadia Sulman, remember? She Octomom. Her story about her ran across my desk. And I was just like, should I read it? I actually have a really interesting connection to Nadia Sulman, Octomom, via a personal friend who I will never disclose the name, but I have a personal connection and it's pretty scandalous. But I don't throw people under the bus because I'm not that kind of girly. My mouth is getting a little bit dry, which means I have to wrap it up here. And now we bring ourselves to our fourth and final story of the day. By the way, this was a good episode. I feel good. I haven't talked in a while, and I had a lot to say today. And sometimes, you know, I'm not just going to put out an episode just to put out an episode. I have to wait till I feel inspired, I'm in the moment, or I'm in, like, you know, a mood. And I was in one of those moods. I was in a weird mood today, in a bit of a funk this Thursday. I don't know why. Sometimes you wake up and you're in a funk. So funk carried me through, and you know, when you're in a funk, what do? You get back to work and you, you know, put yourself in your usual routine, and that's exactly what I did, and you know, here we go. Not to like toot my own horn or anything. Okay, TMZ. Of course. I mean, you guys are probably so sick of hearing about them, but I love them so much and I'm never gonna get sick about hearing about J-Lo and Ben. Low-key strolling before wedding weekend. Wedding bash! Okay, it's party time for Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. The newlyweds just touched down in Georgia and are taking in the sights and sounds before their weekend bash, which is like such an interesting place, Georgia. I don't know why. Maybe because Ben is probably shot there. A lot of films and television shows shoot there. So why not have a home there? I do know that Tyler Perry has like a gorgeous compound there, which is like pretty iconic. Oh no, he has... Oh, Atlanta. Okay, Atlanta, Georgia. Sometimes I'm just like loopy. But he has that like massive estate, which... jealous. Okay, Ben and Jen were spotted in Savannah Thursday, hitting local shops and walking with at least one of their kids, a pretty low-key stroll considering what's still to come. It's Jennifer Garner's eldest daughter, I believe, who literally is a spinning image of her. Gorgeous and just like, oh, chic as hell. Chic as hell. I meant to say ever, but I was saying hell, so chic as hell. I don't know. Okay, as TMZ told you, the couple is welcoming their closest friends and family members to a celebration this weekend at Ben's estate. He owns in the coastal town of Riceboro, Georgia. The property is close to 100 acres with several homes on site, so there's plenty of space for the festivities. I wonder if Jennifer Garner is going to be there. Yeah, I mean, the rest of the article is just, like, providing, like, little pish and posh details, which is super exciting. I'm very happy for them. I do love them, and I wish them a lifetime of happiness. I mean, hey, not everybody gets a second chance at love, especially with, you know, your one true love. Man, to be in love... I wish. I mean, I don't even know. But yeah, that's really exciting. And I'm sorry, by the way, there's a motorcycle driving by me right now. So if you hear that room, 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 that's a motorcycle. That is not, in fact, me. You know what? I'm going to wrap it up because I'm quite tired and I have quite an appetite right now, and I don't know what I want to eat, so I'm going to go get some food. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, you guys. I'm Andrew DeVitri, the Mistress Pop Culture Podcast. I love doing this. I have a great time. I have a gale time. If you have any stories or recs that you want, hit me up on Instagram at Andrew DeVitri, and then, you know, shoot me a line, and I would love it. So be well, be kind, have a great weekend, everybody. And in the words of Nene Leakes, the queen, you do you, and I will see you at the jailhouse. Babu! If you know, you know.